You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right, it's silly season in the NFL. Draft is on Thursday. Cannot wait for the draft coming up on Thursday, and you shouldn't either. You have a chance, everybody, Hive, to win a 75-inch TV. ESPN 97.5, your home for the best draft coverage in the city. The Wheelhouse is going to have feet on the ground in Kansas City. They'll be there live. Meanwhile, we'll be partying locally, Valentia's Tex-Mex Garage on the Southwest Freeway, Thursday night, 6 to 11 p.m., John Granato, myself, Paul Gallant, Patrick Creighton bring you our ESPN 97.5 draft show. Also, don't forget to sign up on your way in. You have to be present, but don't forget to sign up for our mock draft contest when you arrive at Valencia's. You can win a 75-inch TV courtesy of Audiovisual Consultations, our entire NFL draft coverage presented by 1800 Tequila, the official tequila of the Houston Texans. DJ Bienemy covers ESPN, or covers the Texans for ESPN, which, by the way, we're beginning a new podcast here on the station, ESPN Houston YouTube channel. DJ Bienemy, Paul Gallant, talking Texans, first episode debuts tonight, but DJ will be joining us at 2:30 to talk about the draft as well. Blankers, it's silly season, and this was the last weekend ahead of Thursday's draft, so you start to see all of these crazy things that come out. What are we believing? What is just so unfathomable that we can just dismiss it, we can throw it out? The first one, Will Levis, and look, he's been the favorite to be the number two pick on the Caesars Sportsbook for quite a while. Other sportsbooks are starting to follow that up. Will Levis is becoming the betting favorite almost across the board to be the second pick of the NFL draft.
Yeah, no, look, and I was going to ask you, I was thinking about it driving in. Like, does that make you happy?
Yeah, it justifies my stance.
No, I understand the stance you made, but I'm also going to go back to my question was, does that make you happy or happier than if the Texans end up with Bryce Young?
I'd rather have, that's tough. Now,
hey, I got a Jeremy Branham question to Jeremy, Joe.
Now, I've dismissed the idea of Bryce Young, though. You know what I mean? Like, I haven't had to answer that question in a while because I've dismissed
season,
it.
Right? Because it's crazy season. A lot of smoke screens. Mm-hmm. A lot of people sending subliminal messages and trying to get the wrong message out there. But at the end of the draft, would you be pleased more if it's Will Levis or pleased more if Bryce Young is the quarterback of the Texans?
I think I'd be able to sleep easier if it was Bryce Young.
I could see that.
I think to me, it's the same. To me, it's the same, to be honest.
From an ability standpoint?
I mean, I think Will Levis is a better pro prospect than Bryce Young. People are screaming at their radios right now. I understand that. But I've had that stance for the last few months. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm not going to budge on that stance. Now, I have them on the same tier. I have two tier one quarterbacks in this draft. I have two tier two quarterbacks in this draft. Bryce and Levis are my tier ones. So if I can get either one of those guys without losing draft capital, cool. And then I have my two tier two guys, is Stroud and Anthony Richardson. And I really don't like either one.
And to be honest, again, because you know, when we do this show, I just try to be as honest as possible. The honest aspect that adds more credibility to what you've been saying all along and putting the other tier one guy as Levis, not Stroud, is the fact that Stroud has fallen like a lead balloon in the last couple of weeks. Like, suddenly, C.J. Stroud was rumored by most to be the number one pick in the draft. And then they were rumored to be on the same tier with him and Bryce Young. And now, all of a sudden, he's not even the conversation for tier ones. Most people are saying he's the third quarterback off the board, maybe the fourth.
I have a theory about this. I feel like Bryce has always been the top guy. Levis has always been the second guy. Richardson and Stroud have always been the distant third guy. From the NFL circles, I believe it's always been that way. But everything that has changed it is, okay, college football playoff and fan reaction to what Stroud looked like against Georgia. Talking heads, oh, Stroud's this, Stroud's that. Oh, Carolina traded up. Why did they do that? Oh, Anthony Richardson's the best athlete at the quarterback position. We've seen in NFL combine history. So everybody around the NFL circle changed their pecking order for quarterback, while the NFL circle, in my opinion, never changed. It was always Bryce. It was always Levis. It was always Stroud Richardson. I don't think that they've budged off.
See, like, when you talk about that, too, about the crazy time. The crazy time for the NFL, it just ramped up even more. It's on steroids now this week. But for the 2 weeks prior to this, it gets so out of whack to where everybody is hanging on a thread, waiting to the next rumor, the next crazy mock draft, where everybody starts hanging on. But I was talking to my buddies about this, going, why do you guys think it's in any team's best interest other than positioning? They're never going to tell you how they truly feel. They're never going to tell you how they truly rate the top quarterbacks, the top at any position, who they want and what they're interested in. They're only going to give you the smoke screens so that other teams buy in, or as well as the readers and listeners do, to try and get the end result that they're after.
This right now is like the big question that you have to ask yourself as it pertains to the Texans at number two. Because right now, all of the experts, like Peter King came out with his latest mock draft today, his last mock draft. He has the Texans going defense at two. We've heard all of these experts now say the Texans are going defense at two, or all these draft analysts, Texans are going defense at two. Yet Vegas is telling you that it's Will Levis at two. Mm-hmm. So, like, what do you believe? And, like, yeah, there's possibilities that, you know, the Texans could trade out of number two, a bit of a gamble depending on how far they go. But if the Texans stick and pick at two, are you trusting the draft experts and NFL insiders that the Texans are going defense or two? Or do you trust Vegas that Will Levis is going at two?
That was the second part of the conversation I had with my buddies last week, and I had it again today. I said, everybody is believing what the latest mock drafts say. Everybody's believing what the draft experts that work for non-teams are saying. But the one thing that you have to believe, if you're going to believe anything, is Vegas is rarely wrong, because Vegas is messing with money. When you're playing with money, it's different. You have to be right. You have to be as close to right as you can be.
Yeah.
And if Vegas is telling you Bryce Young is a minus 1,000 to go one, he's going number one.
Yeah. Now, yes. That doesn't mean the Texans are picking it, too.
That's exactly what I was – it is not that Will Levis is the betting favorite to
that's
be the quarterback of the Texans.
Right.
He is the betting favorite to be the second pick in the draft.
Sure.
Like, that's a big difference.
Now, my position last week, I haven't budged off of it. I think the Texans are going to be forced into picking Will Levis. I'll explain that in just a second. But the other thing that I wanted to get to about, you know, who do you trust more? Do you trust the NFL insiders, or do you trust Vegas? Here's my conspiracy theory. Tinfoil hat is on. You tell me if I'm nuts. I think the Texans, and we know that they're tight-lipped, I think they're kind of leaking that they want to go defense. Well, why would they do that? Why would they do that? Now, all of a sudden, they're, you know, the bargaining that they could have of trading down at number two is diminished because they don't want quarterback. I think it's a play at Carolina. I think this is one last Hail Mary. They don't even think it's realistic, but it's one last Hail Mary for the Houston Texans to be sticking it to Carolina, because Carolina's like, give us a king's ransom. Give us 2-12. We're still willing to trade down to number two. And the Texans in their standoff are saying, no, we will not do that. And to show you how much we're unwilling to do that, we would even consider picking defense at number two. Why else do these insiders, why else are they saying that the Texans are going to go defense at number two when Vegas is telling us that a quarterback's going to go at number two?
That's why it's so mesmerizing to me how many people still believe everything that they read and don't understand how big of a chess game this is. Everybody's playing it, and they're going to play it more and more on draft day, because they want to make, they all think they're the smartest football people in the room, or in a room, and they're trying to get the end result that we use Belichick all the time. As you know, the Mac Jones draft is the one I go to, where everybody kept saying the different scenarios where the Patriots would have to trade up to get the guy they wanted. The Niners were infatuated, supposedly, with Mac Jones, but yet they took Trey Lance. And then all of a sudden, the draft happens, and on draft night, Mac Jones falls into the Patriots' lap. They never had to do anything, but they were putting out all kinds of mixed messages, trying to do whatever they could to scramble signals to get him to go where he needed to go. It's happening with agents. It's happening with teams. To some degree, it's happening with players themselves when they're talking. And everybody's doing it for their own benefit. You never know until draft night. But that's why the Vegas odds always change one last time on draft day. Mm-hmm. That's why the NBA draft with the Banchero draft was the perfect example. Because in that draft, everybody here in Houston knows, leading up to draft day, Banchero was a guaranteed third pick to the Houston Rockets. And suddenly, in Vegas, when you want the one that's going to give you the truth, the Vegas odds came out on draft day, and Banchero's odds shifted like 180 degrees, and he became the number one overall pick, rumored, and then factual, and then everybody goes, oh, so everything that you read isn't true.
Yeah.
But Vegas does get it wrong.
No, they miss.
So I just found
they can.
But I think they're the closest to being accurate more than
mock
analysts.
Yeah. No, you're right. Mocks, like, I just found an article from last year's April 18th. The betting favorite to be the third pick in the draft was Ike Okwonu.
Mm-hmm.
Derek Stingley Jr. was not listed in the top six. So, like, things change. I just think they could change a lot between now and Thursday.
No doubt. They could trade down. They could trade up. They might not be picking it too. Levis could be the number two pick. But this is why I think we did our mock drafts last week. This is why I think Will Levis is going to be the pick at number two. What do you think the Texans' picks are going to be in the first round? 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What do you think the pick's going to be at number two? 713-780-ESPN. Maybe it's not two. What do the Texans' picks look like on Thursday? And we hope that you're at Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage with us. 713-780-3776. 9868 says Texans picks twice in the first round. Will Levis and then trade from 12 to 3 and take Will Anderson. That would certainly be splashy for Nick Caserio. We know that Nick Caserio likes to trade. He likes to give up more value to move up. He's a Will and Dylan son of a gun, woo. What do you think right now? What is your gut feeling what the Houston Texans do on draft night, first round, Thursday?
I feel like, based on our conversation last week, as much as in the mock drafts, I thought they were going defense, and then they would use 12 and or moving up to get to where they needed to. I think that based on our conversations on Friday, I believe that they have to go quarterback at two. I just think that if they are truly hell-bent on getting a quarterback in this draft, I think the only way they can guarantee it, in my book, is either taking him at two or trading down, but not very far, and trying to manipulate the top five maybe. But other than that, I think that they're taking quarterback at two.
I think they are hell-bent on taking quarterback. And I think that's why they take Will Levis with the number two overall pick on Thursday after Bryce Young. Look, I know that I've been saying that Will Levis is my top tier of quarterback prospects in this class with Bryce Young. I'm also a BPA guy. Like, I also believe in drafting the best player available. So if we think that the Houston Texans board right now, this second, let's just say Will Anderson and Tyree Wilson are on the same tier. They have a 95 grade. Will Levis has a 93 grade. I believe in drafting the best player available, even though that I've been on a Levis kick, especially for a bad team. Like, to me, you got to draft the best player whenever you're a bad team.
But it's only 2 points, and the most important position of the two is the one that's less 2 points.
And I think that's what the Texans are going to think. The Texans are going to think, because of position scarcity, because of positional importance, that we're willing to take the third best player on our board. It's close enough to where we can justify it. And we also feel that if we move down, that there's no guarantee to get a quarterback. Let's just say that Levis, Anthony Richardson, and C.J. Stroud are all on the same tier for the Houston Texans. What are the Texans doing that's going to guarantee them the quarterback other than trading with Indy? And I don't see them trading with Indy. Mm-hmm. So I think the Texans are going to be forced to take Levis. They're going to be there on the board. They're going to be on the clock at number two. They're going to look at the trade-down scenarios. They're going to look at the trade-up scenarios. And they're going to realize on draft night, they might have already realized this. Vegas is telling you they might have already realized this, that they realize that if they trade down, it takes them out of the rookie quarterback business for a top four pick. I don't believe Peter King whenever he had Hendon Hooker mocked to the Houston Texans at number 12. So the Texans are going to be in that spot where they might even have Tyree Wilson and Will Anderson rated higher than Will Levis, but they're going to look at their situation, look at the trade offers that they have, the landscape of the top five, top seven, top 10 picks in the first round, realize that a trade-down scenario does not lock in their quarterback, a trade-up scenario does not lock in their quarterback, and they're going to punt on BPA, take their top-ranked quarterback that's left on the board, which I believe is Will Levis.
Yeah, look, I think that's why I said, based on our Friday conversation, I think two has to be quarterback. I think that the market isn't what they thought it was for a trade. I think that, like Lance said last week, Will Anderson in a different draft with other players, you know, that are normally on the board defensively is probably the 8th or 9th or 10th player in that draft. But because of the lack of defensive players rumored to be in the top of this draft, Will Anderson is elevated, and because of the Jalen Carter situation, Will Anderson is elevated to be the top player in the draft. But does that make him as impactful and worth a top two pick as it would be if in any other draft he was top 10-ish?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not. The importance of the quarterback position, the hyper-urgency of the franchise and what they've been through and what people know and tell you and what you see in terms of you have to get a franchise quarterback, the urgency and the fact that Caserio's starting to feel it a little bit too, it just leads me to believe they're going quarterback. I'm not going to say it is Will Levis without question, but because Vegas numbers are telling you that's leaning that way, that's the best indication I can go by that if they go quarterback at two, and I believe they have to, then they're going to take Will Levis.
Yeah, look, I believe Vegas more than I believe mock drafters and NFL insiders, and then just looking, like reading the tea leaves on this, I think that they think Levis is the second best quarterback in this draft. all the reports are out there that the Colts wouldn't let Levis get by number four. So you're trading down after, like, the fourth pick. You're not getting your second-ranked quarterback. If you trade with Indy, well, maybe they take your second-best quarterback. Your third-best quarterback goes to whoever Arizona trades that pick with, and now you're picking number four, and you have to take whatever is left. I think the Houston Texans are being pigeonholed into almost having to select Will Levis.
But I also think Caserio doesn't take the heat that he would if he passes on quarterback completely.
I don't know. Like, I'm fascinated what the reaction of the city is going to be. Like, I've done the case studies with this and, like, tweeted out. And people in this city despise Will Levis.
I think that's changed.
I don't read that. I don't know where you get that from.
Because who's the podcaster you were going back and forth with yesterday?
I don't remember.
But, like, there's someone you were going back and forth yesterday. He's one of, like, the guys that's like, oh, the McNairs have to step in. Hannah McNair has to save the franchise
and
force the Texans
Chubby Bear
to take a quarterback.
Bear?
Isn't it Chubby Bear? Chubby Bear is who you're talking about.
I think the conversation has changed because
Chubby.
People would
He's
rather,
not that chubby either.
People would rather Will Levis than Will Anderson or Tiger Wilson.
I don't think so.
To a more generalized degree.
Pull it.
They would rather they take quarterback than they would take a defensive player because they know how important everybody has said and how they follow the game enough to know how important the quarterback position is. So if they take Levis at two, Indy takes Richardson at four, Stroud goes Atlanta at eight or somewhere else, there's a chance that all three of them, maybe all four of those guys fail. But the fact that you at least took the swing and the miss going for the most important position that you desperately need, I think buys Caserio a pass more so than passing on all of them and taking a defensive player.
I just pulled it because I don't believe you guys. Okay. I don't believe you guys.
So
I'm
what's
pull
the
it.
Pull? Is it Levis?
I said you're
or...
okay. Let's talk about the rough draft here before he clicks in. You're on the clock at number two. Would you rather have Will Anderson, Tyree Wilson, Will Levis? You good with that?
I'm good with that.
I'm going to put it for hour 30. We'll have it done before the end of the show. We can talk about it in the last segment.
Okay.
That works. That works for everybody.
Yeah, I think that's the right question.
I'm pressing it right now at Jeremy Branham.
Thumbs up.
It's out. It's done. Poof.
You're a magician, man.
It's out there. 713-780-ESPN. HRP listener line. 713-780-3776. What is your gut, Joe George? What is your gut with the Houston Texans do?
Tyree Wilson.
Really? Tyree Wilson's the betting favorite to be the first defensive player off the board now.
Because I think that he's, if you want your Bosa, there's a better chance he's Bosa than Will Anderson. Will Anderson is the safer pick. But, like, when you look at, like, everyone talks about, like, the measurables and, like, the upside and like, what it could be, I think he's that, and he's like Stingley. When Stingley's perfect, he's the guy that's dominating Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson in practice from that video that went viral last year from his time at LSU when he was a freshman. Like, Tyree Wilson is the guy that, like, the upside is higher than Will Anderson,
I think. Here's a weird comparison that I have. I think Tyree Wilson to Will Anderson is Anthony Richardson to Bryce Young. Where, like, Bryce Young is, like, kind of the consensus, safe pick, a little bit undersized. Anthony Richardson's, like, this dude that has the highest ceiling by far. I think Tyree Wilson is the Anthony Richardson of the defensive end position, where he's bigger, he's more athletic, he didn't have the college success, but he maybe has more projectability and more of an upside, whereas Will Anderson's this dude who, in college, led the college football in pressures his freshman year, led the college football in pressures his second year, sophomore year, and then last year was fifth in pressures, where he has more college accolades, he had more college production, but a little bit on the smaller side. And then the pro guy, perhaps, is the Tyree Wilson, is the Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, look, I said, to me, the whole thing got off kilter and askew, starting with Jalen Carter. And then we had a texter that said, come on, man, if Anderson comes out a year ago, he'd have been the next J.J. White. I don't know who J.J. White is, but I don't think that Will Anderson is J.J. Watt. But I don't think that Will Anderson is top two worthy. Not that he's not going to be an above-average player in the NFL. And I think that the importance of quarterback, the fact that this franchise knows they desperately need one, and I think that Nick is starting to think about his future a little bit now. He has to, because he realizes it hasn't been without fault or failure or criticism. And so I think that all those things leading in lead me to believe that they make this pick, and I don't think from Hannah and Cal's perspective that they get killed publicly. I don't think that from Nick's perspective that he gets crushed, because at least he swung taking a quarterback, which they sorely need.
But not Stroud. and not Richardson. Like, they're not taking the safe quarterback, what many people think is the safe quarterback, is Stroud, and many people think the project potential quarterback is Richardson.
I was going to say, Stroud's the guy that for most of this draft process was supposed to be neck and neck with Bryce Young. So he would have been the second surest bet, right? But so if you take Levis, people are going to question that and say, well, where did he play and what did he get? I just saw that. And then if it's not him, they already know that Richardson's supposed to be, and I've kept saying it's a two-year process with him minimum, and I don't think the Texans want to wait that long. So at least they're taking a guy that seems to be the closest to being ready, that has the intangible, the measurables. We're worried about the intangibles, but he's a guy that looks like you can plug him and play him right away. And I think that for that reason, the fans are going to be okay. Casario's going to believe that he's going to be okay because he's going to make the pick that everybody says they got to make and go quarterback. And so I think it's more acceptable than it would have been a week ago, a month ago, 6 months ago.
713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go out there for Eric. Eric, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, good day. Hey, question. What do you think as far as what would the Texans have to give up in order to move up to number one, opposed to giving up to move down to number three, as far as staying in with the second pick? So if they pick somebody at second to move up to with the Cardinals to three, would it be worth sort of moving up and down?
Appreciate the call, Eric. Let's get to that on the other side. What would the price look like to move up to one? What does it look like to move down to three and take a little bit more draft capital? 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Doc O and his staff do a fantastic job taking care of customers on a daily basis. Look, as you get older, things that you normally never had to worry about can be a concern, from the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom. You experience issues that you didn't have previously, and you don't know if there's anything you can do about them. At Apollo Men's Health, there is. For both men and women, it starts with finding more energy on a daily basis. It could be everything from a B12 shot like I get every week to maybe a little bit more intense like hormone therapy, which you can administer yourself at home and they'll teach you how, to going into the office weekly to get them to take care of it, or to get cutting-edge pellet testosterone therapy, which you only have to go in once every 6 months, but you reap the benefits on a daily basis. Looking for something different? Looking for something for a workout program? Maybe to get on one, get started, and to measure it? Well, then you start with a full body composition analysis. Maybe you want to make sure that after going to the gym when you get sore, there's a way to recover quicker. That's HGH peptide therapy. They even have new FDA-approved ways that you can lose up to 6 pounds a week. And when you start factoring that in and say, I could lose 20-some pounds in a month, that's pretty amazing. And they have all the explanations, and you can see if it's right for you too. Go to ApolloMH.com right now. Check out all the services they offer and see if there's something or a couple of them that makes sense to you. If they do, set up an appointment right there on the website. When you go in, you're going to find out most major insurance is accepted and there's discounts for military personnel and first responders. More importantly, mention my name, Joel Blank. Get a free B12 shot or a free body composition analysis on your first official visit. But then go in with an open mind. Answer their questions, tell them where you're lacking, tell them what your goals are. They'll put you on a program that works. They'll get you the results you need. Two locations to better serve you near downtown Houston, with a third one coming very soon. But check them out and tell them I sent you by. They're the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, Blankers, Eric's question was, what do you think it costs to trade up to number one versus what you could get back in return to move down to number three?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. And I think that if Carolina's shooting for the moon, they'd like number 12. I just don't think that's realistic. I think to move up one spot, I think realistically it would be... the second pick of the second round, and maybe a pick next year.
How good?
Maybe fourth? A third or a fourth?
I don't think they do it. I don't think Carolina
don't
really
think
has.
Who does it?
Carolina. I don't think Carolina has much interest to move down to one. I think they would have to be knocked off their feet to trade that pick.
That's why I think that they think it's got to be number 12.
I would agree.
If they get 1 and 12, they would consider
it. I don't think they would do it for less than that. Yeah. I'm not even sure that they would do it for one of the picks next year.
If I'm the Texans, I don't do it for
that. I think you have to factor in two things. How much did Ryan Poles share with the Panthers about the conversations between the Bears and the Texans. Mm-hmm. If the Panthers are aware that for sure, 100%, the Texans were going to get the 12th pick, then you already know that that's on the table. But you also now you don't have a first next year if you're the Panthers. So I think if you're really going to give up on taking Bryce Young, it's going to cost you 12 and the Texans first next year.
So 2-12 and a Texans
because,
first?
Because I think they traded up for Bryce Young for a reason. So to pry Bryce Young away from him is going to cost you an arm, a leg, and more.
And Dylan Brooks is target of his affection.
Maybe.
Yeah. I think that when you look at this from a Texans perspective, that's too much. And it's also too much because if you do know that there are so many question marks and you believe that there are question marks in the quarterbacks that are available in this draft, then you know that next year is in play for a quarterback. If next year is in play for a quarterback, you can't be so sold on one guy in this draft that you give up the opportunity to make it good next year. When I talked about two quarterbacks in 2 years, mm-hmm. It's not out of the realm. It's out of the realm if you give up the picks from this year and or next year that could help you move to where you need to go or to solidify who you need to get. And I don't think they're willing to do that.
No, I think the price to move up to number one is at minimum 2-12. At minimum. It might be more. I think at minimum it's 2-12.
It's way too much.
Now, moving down to three, this one doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me because Arizona's at number three, and I think Arizona would like to trade out of number three.
I think they are.
So, like, this would take a lot of dominoes to happen. Like, it would probably require somebody trading up to three and then trading up to two, and now we're playing Madden, so it seems unrealistic. I don't think that the price would be that much. Like, in my mock draft last week, I had the Colts trading up to number three. I had the Colts flip-flopping with Arizona to prevent somebody else from trading up to Arizona. Like, there's talks that the Titans might be wanting to trade up to get one of these quarterbacks. So the Colts, I think, could feel pressure of they don't want somebody to jump them, take the quarterback that they want. I think, and I don't think Arizona wants to drop too far because I think Arizona wants either Will Anderson, Tyree Wilson. They want an elite defensive end. Yep. So I don't think Arizona wants to drop down to 11. I think Arizona would love to drop down to four, collect a little bit of draft capital, and flip with the Colts. I don't know, like maybe a second, like with the Colts, could they get a second? I think that they could. I think the Colts could trade from four to three and attach only a second rounder. I think that would get it done.
I think Arizona's giddy if they get that because they still get J.J. White or the second coming. And yet they get extra draft capital because they're essentially, without admitting it, in a rebuild. Because they're going to suck for the first 6 weeks regardless because they're not going to have Kyler Murray. And even with Kyler Murray, I don't think they're all that good. And if they're trying to move on from Deshaun Watson and they know J.J. Watt's retired and they know that they built an older roster taking a swing for the fences to make this run that didn't happen and materialize, I think they're going to start opting out of all those guys and they're going to start looking to try and stockpile assets. And I think this would be the start of it. And they could start in earnest trying to do what they need to do to kind of press the reset button.
Yeah.
Todd McShay said that he thought the Cardinals had the worst roster in the NFL.
Ooh. Without Kyler Murray, it's hard to disagree.
I think I agree because they have no big-time pass rusher.
Buda's gone. JJ's gone.
Hopkins
Kyler's
going
to be gone. DeAndre's gone. Their offensive line, I think, is just okay.
AJ Green is old.
Like, who's your best player?
I think he retired.
Yeah.
Did he really?
Yeah.
James Conner and Hollywood Brown are your best players.
Rondell Moore's like okay. He's a positional piece. They're tight end. McBride last year was a rookie. I think he's solid, but I mean, assuming in the second year.
I think it's more likely the Cardinals try to do what the Bears did and trade back to like 11.
See, I think they want. I think they want a stud.
I think they want one of the three best defensive players, and they feel like in the middle of the top 10, they could still get who they need. It's just a matter of what can they get that makes it worthwhile.
Yeah, I can see them going either way, but I think that they want a stud defensive end, one of the top defensive ends in the draft.
To me, like if you're going to trade
Dak, I think that's two different players. I don't know that there's a stud defensive end in this draft in the top 10 picks.
See, I think Van Ness.
The best defensive end, then.
Okay.
I think Van Ness could be really good.
I think so, too.
I think Tyree Wilson.
I think Nolan Smith has a chance to be really good in the right system.
Is Tyree Wilson more or less the Richardson of his position? Like, he's not there yet, but he's got the most upside to get there.
It's really the same debate as last year.
I didn't hear you say that.
It's really the same thing as last year. Will Anderson has college production, and like he is a good player, hard worker.
In a system that produces.
Just like Aiden Hutchinson. And then Trevon Walker from Georgia was like the guy who had all the intangibles, the big combine numbers. And like Jacksonville said, we're going to take the guy that like in 3 or 4 years is going to be the best pass rusher. I think that's the same thing with Tyree Wilson and Will Anderson. One is all upside. One is solid production.
And at least with Alabama defensive players, you know in the NFL it translates. The much the opposite of with quarterbacks, where we talk over and over again about how many Alabama quarterbacks have produced at the next level. You're looking at Alabama defensive players, at just like their offensive linemen, going, you know what? The chances are normally pretty good. They're going to be at least average to above average NFL players, if not better than that. So Will Anderson gives you the best security.
You know what? Honestly, like something that would also factor into my decision, especially for this position, SEC versus Big 12.
I was just thinking that.
Like the fact that Will Anderson has great results in the SEC, to me, that translates. To me, that translates to him being a good NFL pass rusher. Some people are saying that he might be a little bit too small, doesn't have like prototypical size, although it's not bad, like 6'3 and a half, 250 pounds. Not brutal. It's not Nolan Smith. Nolan Smith is tiny for the position. But Tyree Wilson's like 6'6, a behemoth. Honestly, I think Tyree Wilson fits more to what the Texans are trying to do than what Will Anderson does.
I think DeMeco would prefer that, for sure. DeMeco, when you look at what he had to work with San Francisco, would probably really prefer size with athleticism as opposed to a Will Anderson type. But I think he'd also have to consider the fact that if Will Anderson and Christian Harris have played together and you could put them right back on the same defense, I think that, you know, that you get a little extra continuity and chemistry that could also pay dividends for you, at least in the early going. But in terms of long-term success, I mean, I understand, well, Will Anderson isn't this big dominant force, but I believe he's going to be an above-average NFL player.
713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Julia says, Texans get the 6th and 18th pick, Lions get the 2nd pick. So you're trading down from 2 to 6, and then you're adding pick number 18. I don't understand what Detroit's motive would be here. I don't think that they're going to be trading up for a quarterback. I wouldn't rule them completely out if a quarterback falls to them. I doubt it, though. I think they're more likely to use the 18th pick on a quarterback if a quarterback drops, but still, I doubt that. So I don't get Detroit's motive here. This intrigues me from a Texans point of view, because now you have 6, now you have 12, now you have 18. The downside, though, is I don't think you get one of the top 4 quarterbacks.
Yeah,
but are you okay with that?
I personally would, because I'm a BPA guy.
I think also I'm unlike what Joe was saying about the Cardinals roster, I still believe the Texans have the worst roster in the NFL. And so in order to improve and get 3 first-round picks to improve 3 positions to make your overall roster better, I could live with that and be a lot more content with that than swinging and missing on one of the bottom 2 quarterbacks.
I would do this trade. I'm a BPA guy.
Definitely.
But if you're a quarterback guy, I don't think you can do this trade.
Right. If you're a quarterback guy, you can't. But if you're just looking to get the best roster construction you possibly can and keep it on the rebuild path, this is the best option to adding the best football
player.
But
players. Shouldn't something like this be like the tiebreaker? So like the room is split. CJ Stroud and Will Anderson. I mean, maybe now it's Will Levis and Will Anderson. Mm-hmm. So the room is split 50-50.
And Hannah McNair comes and in and
don't
says,
say
but then
that.
The Lions call and say, hey, we'll give you 6 and 18. Then I think that room that's like that half of the room that's Team Will Levis, they all move to the other side of the
have
room.
Have to, right? Because
why? Agree.
Because you get one of the 3 best defensive
sucks.
Players.
Like, but you don't get a quarterback.
I know, but like okay. I think like you talk about roster building, team building, like and what the 49ers have done, what the Eagles have done, mm-hmm. like what the Chiefs did with Mahomes, like having 3 first-round picks this year, 2 next year, and honestly the ability to get a 4th this year because of the 33rd pick, like – you can do a lot, and you can really build this team quickly and say, we're going to kick the can down the road on quarterback. And I know Texans fans aren't going to like that, but if you have 3 first-round picks this year, I think you can sell that to your fan base.
3
I would
this
do it.
Year, 2
I would
next
do it.
Year. You have the assets to move up next year if you need to, but it also, with a defensive-minded head coach, you're not going to be – I don't think he's going to be too bothered. And with the offenses that he's had in San Francisco, with not getting a quarterback right away, if he knows that a quarterback's in play next year, but he also is probably going to add at least 1 or 2 defensive players in the top 4 picks that this team makes to make his defense better in year 1. And I think that he understands he's going to be around. It's a rebuild. He'd be okay with all of that.
If you guys are going to, if the Texans are going to trade back, is it better to get a 3rd pick in this year's draft or a 3rd pick in next year's draft.
In the first round, you mean?
Yeah.
I'd rather have a first rounder next year, but 100%. not in Detroit's case, though. Because Detroit, I think, is going to be a later first rounder next year. And I can lock in the 18th pick this year. This is a trade where, like, I'm not asking for Detroit's next year's first. I'm doing this trade and then maybe talking about a trade back with either 12 or 18.
I think that's why, if you're going to trade back, I love the idea of trading with the Titans because I think they're going to be awful next year. Their GM just said it to the media that they haven't got calls on Derrick Henry, but there was a report from the NFL Network that there was a done deal for Derrick Henry to the Eagles.
Dallas, I heard, like, the two players.
If you don't believe in C.J. Stroud or Will Levis 100%, then you should give them to the Tennessee Titans. And you should hope that they flounder. Like, you want to take a risk and a belief that the team that you're trading with is going to be awful next year.
Music to my ears. I love the idea of that. I'm pro trading within division. Just win that trade. About this trade, though, like, I don't see Detroit's motive to trade up to number two. Like, to me, it doesn't exist.
Well, Jared Goff.
I don't think that they're going to trade up, though, and for a quarterback and be like, okay, we're quitting on Jared Goff.
See, I think the ideal scenario for the Lions is that somehow you end up trading just high enough to get your hands on Richardson. Because Richardson's not going to be ready for 2 years. Goff's with you at least for one more. You could probably franchise him for a year after that. You know he's not your long-term solution. The rest of your roster is very young, and ideally he hands the baton, whether he likes it to, maybe begrudgingly, to Richardson in 2 years, and you have your quarterback for now, and you have your quarterback for the long term. I think that makes a lot of sense. It's just, how high do they have to go to get it? Is it all the way to four? Do they panic and say, well, let's just end all the speculation. We'll just go all the way to two, depending on what they have to give up. And if you're the Texans, the more picks that you can accumulate regardless makes you better. And it's not going to go over as well with your fan base. But realistically, if you're getting better football players and you're getting three of them in the first round, then I think that most people's belief is you'd have to be a better team going forward. And you still set yourself up for the ability to trade up or do what's necessary to get a quarterback next year.
Yeah, I do it if I'm the Texans. I don't think Detroit would do this. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. The Texans sent out a tweet this morning. Everybody's losing their mind about it. Also, if DeMeco Ryans really wanted to accomplish something, if he really wanted a certain player at number two, he could stand on the table and force what he wanted. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All teams covered. No talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Failure is not an option. It's a necessity. Every misstep is a lesson learned. Every setback, a chance to grow stronger. Embrace the struggle and become unstoppable.
How come they just didn't say embrace the suck?
That's what I thought. I was like, this sounds very much like embrace the suck.
We had it right all along, and they screwed that up too.
It sounds very much like embrace the suck. That was what the Houston Texans tweeted out at 8 a.m. today with the caption, forward. Failure is not an option, it's a necessity. Every misstep is a lesson learned. Every setback, a chance to grow stronger. Embrace the struggle and become unstoppable. Embrace the suck and become unstoppable. People are losing their minds over this. The cryptic nature of this. There's some conspiracy theories out there that it looks like Will Levis's tattoo with the font that the Houston Texans have used.
That's good.
So it's a tweet that I don't know why they were sending it. I think people losing their minds about it is stupid. Like, who cares what they're tweeting? Like, they're probably just trying to get some sort of impressions, trying to get likes. Like, that's what social media is. I really don't care. I think the reaction's hilarious. I don't know where they're going, though. I don't know what they're trying. Like, is it, we've been knocked down, now we're going to get up again? Like, is that the message here? What's going on with Texans Twitter?
I thought maybe it was going to be, like, lyrics.
That would be a Deshaun Watson thing to do.
Yeah, that would be inappropriate.
Jeremy just did it. Did you do that on purpose?
Do what?
Start saying lyrics?
I was just reading the Texans Twitter.
No, the get knocked down, gotta get up again.
Kinda, I did.
So, like, it's like...
Can you name the group?
Hey, Donnie Boy. No.
Chumbawamba.
There you go. Chumbawamba. The great Chumbawamba.
Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't know that, Jeremy. If you're going to recite their lyrics and then not know.
You're going straight to the lyrics. I thought you'd know the author.
I'm decent at knowing lyrics, but not having any idea who sang the song.
Okay.
I'm a one-trick pony. We all know this, and some people think I do that one trick poorly.
So should we change who said it?
To what?
One-trick?
No, like, should we, like, do, like, lyrics? Like, lyrics, and you have to guess the band?
Sports. Fine. All-encompassing sports.
You're A.J. Hoffman now? Sports.
No, I don't think we should change the game. Now, I'm talking to both of you. I feel like you're on one shoulder, you're on my other shoulder. I'm talking to the both of you.
Joe's got the pitchfork. I got the halo.
I'm just trying to stop listening.
Do we have any hot takes about this Texans Twitter? People have hot takes for days on Twitter about it.
I think it's, again, it's a morale booster for the fans. It's saying, hey, for
before, in what way?
Because they're basically saying, yeah, we've been really bad for a couple of years, but that's what you have to do and endure and get stronger from so that you can reap the benefits that you're going to have success again. And it's going, you know, it's coming and it's going to be better because of what you've been through.
I think so too.
Like a Tony Robbins tweet is what it is.
Yeah. We've been knocked down. I think we're going to get up again. Yeah. Like that. I really do think that's the message behind the tweet. Like, we understand your struggles, Houston, sticking with us. We've won 11 games in the last 3 years. We know that you've lived some down times as an NFL fan in our very fine city. But the future is ahead of us. We're going to bounce back. We're going to be fine. We're going to embrace this struggle that we've been in, like we've embraced the suck, and we're going to be unstoppable with the picks that we've benefited because we've embraced the suck. I think that's what the Texans are saying.
That's what I believe it is. It's a motivational, say, don't lose hope now. You've been through the worst of it, and there's good times ahead.
Such a funny tweet, though. Like, it's just...
Well, I just feel like a gift, and I was like, what does this mean?
Yeah, I think it's more motivational. Like, we've had struggles, we're going
to
bounce
back. Yeah, but like, what a weird way to tweet it.
I know, it is.
Just forward.
Yeah, we're thinking forward.
It's not like two Texans fans.
We're thinking forward. Our minds are on the forward, the future. What's in front?
It's bizarre.
I think it's misguided. I don't think it was handled the right way, but I think that was the message. But it is bizarre. Yep,
I agree.
713-780-ESPNH. But their hot takes about it are silly. People are like, well, I'm not as excited about the draft on Thursday now because of this tweet. What? Really? Like, you're letting that tweet change your excitement about Thursday's draft? Like, that is insane.
Now, let me ask you this. Coming off of Thursday, whatever happens Thursday, is the mood of this fan base, upbeat and happy?
It depends on who you pick.
That's what I'm saying. But what's the best guess in terms of, if you were going to lay odds, are more fans going to be upset, or are they going to be pleased with what the Texans do Thursday night? Thursday night.
I think they're getting Levis, so I think they're going to be upset.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting annihilated on this poll.
I know. I told you. I got a pulse for the city unlike
any other. I just don't understand, like, all these people, and maybe, like, it's just a loud minority that are like, you have to go quarterback, have to go quarterback. Like, what's Patrick Creighton going to do? Demand that they take a quarterback and then be upset when it's Levis?
Yeah.
Like, you can't have it both
par
ways.
Par for the course in sports.
But, like, you can't have it both ways. You cannot demand that the Texans take a quarterback, and then they take the one that you don't like, and you're upset about it.
I tweeted that out this weekend, too. I was like, Texans fans, we must have a quarterback at 2. Texans fans and the thought of Will Levis at 2. No, anything but that.
Exactly.
That's the way it is.
That would be like an automatic 10-game suspension, because it'd be like a punch in the... Oh, sorry. That was a different conversation.
I don't think there's any chance that Texans fans are going to be happy on Friday officially. Because even if they take C.J. Stroud, which is like the fan favorite pick,
yeah,
there's still going to be a majority that are saying we could have had Bryce
Colts
Young.
Colts game ain't going away.
I think they'll be happy with Stroud.
Colts game ain't going away now. I keep telling you this.
Yeah.
The Colts game is still resonating with a ton of Texans fans going, all you had to do was do it for one more game. And whether they blame Nick Caserio and not putting enough guys on inactive, tons of people are blaming Lovey for a kick in the nuts on the way out, for chuckling on the way up the ramp because he got the best of the Texans. Regardless of who they blame, they're still pissed off about it.
You got to move on, though. Like,
but
you have
they
to move.
Can't. We like, know this.
Like, I understand it's the history and it's never going to go away, but you have to take your emotion out of it. Like, it's this going forward. It's the moment you hired D'Amico going forward. You have the number 2 pick. It's about going forward. Maybe that's what the tweet's telling us, because I keep saying forward.
I think that's right.
I keep saying forward. It's like, get over the week 18 loss. We got to go forward.
That's what the tweet is telling you.
Did you guys see the response from the Jags?
Oh, it was good. Yeah, they trolled them and said it's always Jags or something like that.
It's always the Jags.
Yeah, pretty good troll.
But it's not. The Jags suck against the Texans like 80%
of their career.
They won
the division last year.
At one time.
They won the division.
They won a playoff.
They're the favorites to win the division again.
And they should be.
Yes, they should be.
I think they're fine. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line for our guy, Pena. Pena, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Pena?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hope y'all had a wonderful weekend. And, man, look, if they're not in love with the quarterback, I say pass on the quarterback on number 2. Yes, we don't. Our line isn't as bad as when we drafted David Carr. Our O-line is miles better. But I'm sorry, Joel, but how did the 49ers beat the Packers? Defense and having a really good offense. And I don't think our offense isn't there. I think we're closer on the defensive side. I say go defense at number two. And if maybe a quarterback slides a little bit back, trade the number 12. But I say go defense at number two. Thank you. Have a great day.
You got it, Pena. You have a good day, too. Look, I understand I'm like one of the only people that likes Will Levis. I'm a best player available guy, though. I'm a BPA guy. I don't care if the Texans don't draft Levis.
But I'm not, even as it relates to every other position, I'm a BPA guy. As it relates to this position, I'm a make sure it's your guy. And I've been saying that all along. Like,
but you're okay with punting it. You're okay with punting on QB.
I'm okay with punting it, but I'm also okay with them saying that they're going away from the media norm and what everybody is rumoring and saying, look, of the four quarterbacks that we felt were worthy of a top 10 pick in this draft, or top three, or however many it was, the guy that we felt had the best pro potential to have the most success that was going to be available when we picked was going to be Will Levis. And so we took Will Levis because that's what we saw. If that's in your gut, if that's, aside from all the BS and minutia that's being put out there, if that's what the people in your building told you and that's the decision that you came to, that's what I want. I want you to be hell-bent on your guy.
That's a very logical and reasonable thing to say in the way that we should be thinking.
It's not going
to
be that.
But it's not the way everybody is behaving. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. It's going to be this draft's unpredictable. It really is. I was just I went to the bathroom a second ago, and I was I pulled up the tweet that somebody had sent me about what Ian Rappaport is saying,
the
latest. On my way and on my way back.
Okay.
Yeah, I took a little respite to handle some business. But Rappaport's saying right now that no one has any clue what the Texans are doing. And, like, this is, like, the lead NFL guy. He says we have no clue what we're doing. 713.
You know what? The only problem with that is hopefully that they're not some of the people they're talking about.
Which a lot of people
Texans
think that they
themselves,
are.
Yeah. They have a lot of people believe the Texans don't have a clue.
Let's go out to the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Corey, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Corey?
Yeah, how you doing? How y'all guys doing today?
What's up, Corey?
Yes, sir. So I got a question. Why is nobody talking about Stetson Bennett? You know, he's one of the best in there. You know, he's at least top five, and nobody's talking about getting him. You know, I'm not a Texans fan or nothing, but I think Stetson Bennett should be up there.
Appreciate the call,
Corey. Thanks, Corey. Look, I don't think anybody thinks he's top five. I mean, look, this is when you start talking about it, there's two different ways to break this down. Was he one of the best college quarterbacks last year? Well, absolutely. And you know what? And they won another national championship, and he was a big reason why. And he gets all the kudos in the world for that. But how it translates to the next level is a guy that, by most accounts, if he maximizes his potential, is a lifelong backup quarterback in the NFL that can get some spot starts. They're not talking about a guy that can be a franchise quarterback. They're not talking about with the measurables and intangibles and everything else, although he has a lot of intangibles. They're basically not even putting him in the same ballpark as the top four or five quarterbacks in Hendon Hooker, making it the top five quarterbacks in this draft. So
what's the biggest difference between Bryce Young and Stetson Bennett?
I was thinking about
that. They're both small quarterbacks that have like average NFL arms that both won a lot of games in college football.
Both
like people would say that Bryce is quicker, that he's better at like reading defenses, processing, you know, avoiding the rush. Stetson Bennett was a better college quarterback than Bryce Young was, at least head to head.
And wins and losses. I mean,
won natties. Bryce Young didn't win a natty.
Yeah,
first quarterback at Alabama not to do so since Blake Sims.
Yeah, but the bigger thing is, how does it translate to the next level?
Why? But like, I understand that Bryce is obviously better than Stetson Bennett, but we're talking about Bryce Young as the number one pick and Stetson Bennett is a fifth or sixth rounder. I don't feel the delta between Bryce Young and Stetson Bennett. Yes, Bryce Young's way better than Stetson Bennett. I don't feel the delta between Bryce Young and Stetson Bennett is six rounds.
I do.
Really?
Why? Because I think any time, because if there was a Bryce Young recruit, Stetson Bennett would have been benched. Like if
they
Georgia,
tried to bench him over JT Daniels,
yeah,
and he won the job over him.
I know he did, but like I just, if there was a better quarterback on that roster, like if Quinn Ewers would have ended up at Georgia, I think Quinn Ewers would have been the quarterback.
How are they
going to
bench him after he's winning natty after natty?
I don't know. Ask Jalen Hurts.
Come on, Jimmy. You know how that works. You know the answer to that question is, even after he won the first one, they were saying if there's a younger quarterback that comes in that we're going to have for 3 years as opposed to one more, they're going to take the younger quarterback because they know that almost any quarterback could have run that ship.
All right. You can ask us whatever you want. We do it every Monday at 2 o'clock. Ask the Killer Bees whatever. Our mailbag Monday, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Ask the Killer Bees whatever you want. Mailbag Monday on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.